Philippians chapter 4, we continue what I began this morning, because these messages are addressed to the family. I like to think of this as being a family book, the book of Philippians. Paul, of course, dealing with the problems that faced his people, and these in the church at Philippi, who were so close to his heart, and he was seeking to help them in their life and service for the Lord. And of course, everything here is applicable to us, because we're just as human as they, and we experience, as did they, those things that are common to all mankind, and we're going through the same problems as they went through them, and we need the same message. And so I pray tonight that our thoughts will be those that will bless every heart. Beginning with verse 1, chapter 4, Philippians, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now we have two messages remaining in this chapter, which I trust to give next Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we, because of the serving of the Lord's Supper on Wednesday night, we will forego the message, but on the next two on the next week, but hoping to finish this up and these thoughts, but all of which we hope will help to strengthen us in our Christian living and help to remind us of the purpose for which God has left us here, to live victoriously before a godless world and to bear fruit for Him. But along the way, in our living, there are certain things that plague us, the cares of life. And that's why I've chosen to call this message tonight, Heaven's Cure for Earth's Care. Heaven's Cure for Earth's Care. Well, we find the cure in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God is the remedy that the God of peace wants to give you tonight. The peace of God is the remedy that the God of peace wants to give you here tonight. The difficulties and the uncertainties of life have always afforded men and women abundant opportunities for worry, and we're no exception. If you live in this old world, you're going to create friction, and if you live in this old world, you're going to face everything that every generation before has faced. But I believe never have the temptations been as great as they are today. I don't know how they could be, because we have more gadgetry in our age and more things about us that might cause us to worry more than any other age has ever produced. Temptations to worry, to fear, and to fret, they're so great in our day and in the way, in the manner of life in which we live. On every hand, there is confusion and suffering and loss. And the words of Jesus are being fulfilled, Luke 21:26, "And men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Well, we know that to be prophetic, but we see the building up of it, and we see things happening today that absolutely would have amazed our grandparents, but things that we just take for granted day by day, the modern inventions that science and so on are producing for us, that would baffle the mind if we were already able to cope with it at all. But our grandparents would certainly believe that none of this could happen. In your day, you've seen the development of the airplane, the automobile, space, and the atomic energy, and all of this has come about in our time, the telephone, television, and putting people in space, even to walking on the moon. And you, if you had told that to my grandfather, he would have had you committed right away, almost any part of that. But today we take these things for granted. But for many it's a cause for confusion, and for many worry and concern. But the child of God, the one who is in the Lord and whose name is written in the book of life, should not be overcome with the maladies of fear and anxiety and worry, yet many of us are. And some of us, our fears and anxieties arise from experiences of the past, as we talked about this morning, and we urge you to forget those things and put them out of your mind. Others are anxious and fretful and worried about the future. So many folks are spinning their wheels tonight mentally about what's going to happen tomorrow. How am I going to live tomorrow? Old age is pressing in upon us, and health, and the matter of security. And we worry about these things. But as children of God, we should take no thought for these things. And we'll get to that in a moment. So many people are worrying about things that have not yet happened. And worry is the advance interest you pay on trouble that seldom ever happens. And it's just something that you should not allow to take up your time, and so should I. But we're so susceptible to it. But God has an answer for it all if we but take Him at His promises. Others are plagued with financial problems and business concerns, which are quite natural. But God has a way of delivering us from these fears. Others are burdened by the present concerns in the family, in the home, the needs. Husbands and wives are at each other's throats. And many parents are despairing as to how to know how to deal with their children. And we're living in a complex time, but we must face it. Many of our fears are imaginary, and many of the things we worry about never really come to pass. And so we need to be very selective about the things we're going to allow to plague us. And we need to look at them objectively. For the Christian, fear and anxiety and worry are useless and unnecessary and perhaps even sinful, according to the Word of God, if we are truly children of faith. And if we truly believe Him and believe His Word, it's useless for a Christian to fear, to worry, and to fret. Now, why do I say that? When you're seated there tonight, all bowed down with worry, perhaps, and with needs, and very real, very tangible things that are facing you tonight, and then I have the audacity to stand before you and to tell you that it's useless and foolish and even sinful. Preacher, what do you base your comment upon? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And now the question, are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Vance Havner said, worry like a rocking chair will give you something to do, but it will not get you anywhere. And that's right. That's right. Now, what do our worries and fears accomplish? Nothing comes upon us so quickly as worry, which is why it's so dangerous. It harms us physically, it harms us mentally, and it harms us spiritually. When you think of the physical aspects of it, it can destroy the digestive process, give you ulcers. Ulcers are what you get from climbing mountains over molehills. It can send up your blood pressure. You go in for a checkup, and the doctor says, what's eating on you? What are you worried about? After he looks at the charts and reads the dials and comes back and sits you down and begins to talk to you. He said, what's eating on you? What are you worried about? Because some of the symptoms that he sees that are manifest by the tests that they make show that there's something wrong with the inner man. Something wrong with the mind. Sends up the blood pressure, causes insomnia. You lie awake at night. It even paralyzes bodies and seriously affects the heart. All of this is proven to be true. Just plain worry. Someone has said worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. What are you saying? You will eventually be totally occupied with it if you're not careful. And it will affect the whole of your life. Now, it's unnecessary for a Christian to worry, to be fearful, to be anxious. And you say, why again? Because we have a Heavenly Father who is all-powerful, who is all-loving, one who knows what His children need and who's able to supply that need. Now let's look again. Matthew 6. Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles or the worldlings seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And yet, we lean on the promises of God concerning salvation and rejoice in it and say, hallelujah. We rejoice in the blessed hope that is ours, that God has prepared a place for us after this life. And we think of heaven, we read John 14, and we quote 1 Thessalonians 4, and from 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians 5, and we quote it and we revel in it, we rejoice in it, and we hallelujah in it. But then when it comes down to these verses, where you have to really put it to test in everyday life, we fail the course and we get an F. Totally fail it. And we live just like the world, acting just like those who never read the promise of God at all. We do not claim it. We do not rest upon it or practice it day by day. And consequently, we live in defeat. We live powerless lives, joyless lives, simply because we're not claiming the promises of God for the everyday practical things of life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you can claim all these things by faith and know that he will let you have them. It's unseemly for a Christian to worry, to be fearful and to anxious. And to be anxious, it shows a lack of faith in our part. A worrying Christian is a contradiction. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This may be literally translated, it matters to him about you and about me. He careth for us. It matters to him as to what happens to us day by day. But we're so prone to question, and I'm just as guilty as you. We search our lives, we search our hearts. Lord, haven't I served you faithfully? Haven't I been faithful in my giving? Why do you put me through this grinding process and allow me to experience what I'm going through now? It may be to refine you and to refine me for something better the Lord has for us to do down the way.
Don't question it. Live by faith through it. Live victoriously through it. Claim the promises of God through it. Rise above it by faith and move on. The cure for anxiety and fear, what is it? Now, many psychological remedies are offered. Some of them are helpful, but few, if any, go to the root of the problem. God's prescription contains three ingredients found in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, number one. In everything but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, number two. Let your requests be made known unto God, number three. What have I said? Be careful for nothing, number one. Be prayerful for everything, number two. And be thankful for anything, number three. I have found in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, Paul said. And what did he suffer? Privation, nakedness, whipped, beaten, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, beaten with many stripes, cast into a cold, dirty, filthy dungeon, left to rot in the filth and slime. And if you could see those eastern dungeons, you'd shrink back in horror. Some of us stood in one of them, when one that they said that Paul actually was kept in. And we went down, looked at that hole over our heads and the stone above us, and imagine a stone being placed over that hole and be left in Stygian darkness down in that stinking hole for days on end without little food, no little water, and no sunshine. Paul went through all of that. And yet he said, I have found in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He found the Lord to be sufficient in every circumstance that faced him. Now let's look at it quickly. Be careful for nothing. Verse 6 really means, in nothing be anxious. And that means no thing. That's what nothing is. No thing, separated into two words. Be anxious. Does not mean that we are to be thoughtless, but it does mean that we are not to be bowed down and burdened with care and anxiety. This is God's command, just like Exodus 20:15, and this command where he says, thou shalt not steal. Be careful in nothing. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Same thing. But you say it is no use to say to someone who's filled with care and filled with anxiety, don't be afraid, don't worry. You're right. It's no use for a doctor or a psychiatrist or me as a preacher to say it. But it's something else when God says it. And that's what I'm passing on to you tonight, and that's what I'm bringing into focus for you tonight. It's God Almighty who said it. It's not this preacher. I'm merely bringing into focus for you to consider, in order that you might be strengthened, in order that you might find an answer in this time. When God says, in nothing be anxious, it means that he has the remedy and he offers the power to effect our deliverance. Martin Luther, in his autobiography, said, and I quote, I have one preacher I love better than any other. It is my little tame robin who preaches to me every day. I put his crumbs upon my windowsill, especially at night. He hops onto the sill when he's hungry. He takes as much as he desires to satisfy his need. Then he always hops to a little tree close by, and he lifts his voice to God and sings his carol of praise and gratitude. He then tucks his head under his wing and goes fast asleep, to leave tomorrow to look after itself. The little birds of the field have God as their caterer. And God stands ready to cater your needs and my needs if we will but meet his condition laid down in his word. Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful for everything. For a good test of your memory, let me ask you, what were you worrying about last year on this date? You remember? I don't think you do. If I ask you that a year from now, will you remember the things that are plaguing you tonight? Now, if you can't remember what you worried about last year, why worry today about the things you're worrying about today if they're going to pass even out of your memory in a short while? Why are you allowing them to allow you to live in the depths of defeat tonight, if that be true of you? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And everything means what it says, everything. Have you ever brought your fear or your worry to God in a definite way and asked Him to remove it? Number one, by prayer. This means not just talking about it, but actually praying, taking it to God. By supplication, this not only means praying, it means intensity. Take it to God and leave it there. Let your request be made known unto God. This implies definiteness, not praying around the world, but when you get down before God, name it and leave it there. Groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused, Spurgeon said. And General Dwight Eisenhower said, prayer gives you the courage to make the decisions you must make in a crisis, and then the confidence to leave the results to a higher power. That's why we sing, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And then be thankful for everything. Verse 6 says, in everything with thanksgiving. But surely there are some things for which we find it difficult to be thankful. Are there? Does anything ever happen in your life that's not known to the Heavenly Father? In fact, is there anything that happens to you that is not in His permissive will for you? And is anything that can happen to you out of which He cannot get glory? And from which you cannot derive good? Be careful about your answer. Because Romans 8:28 comes at us like a cannonball. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. If you love Him tonight, what you're experiencing is part of the all things to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, is this really true? If it is, and we know it is, then we can thank God for anything and for everything. Verse 4 states, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You say, I'm finding it so hard to rejoice, preacher. Yes. Yes, I know. You're human. And I've gone through those valley experiences in my life when the clouds hung heavy overhead and I found little and could find little to which to cling and little in which to rejoice because my faith was so weak. And I found it difficult to rest upon the promises. But look at verses 11 and 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that wonderful? And so can we. When we live in the light of these truths and they become our personal experience, praise will soon chase away worry, fear, anxiety, and care. Learn to praise Him in every circumstance. Now notice we've said be careful for nothing. Be prayerful for everything. Be thankful for anything. And when we have properly mixed together these three ingredients in God's prescription, we can know the reality of verse 7, which reads, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice the certainty of peace. You may find it in the word shall, not perhaps, not maybe so, not hope so, but it says you shall find it. That's positive language. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, what about the quality of the peace? It's the peace of God. Can you conceive of God being fearful or worrying about anything? Well, the same peace that he has is the peace he wants you to have and wants you to experience. It's the peace of God. What about the nature of it? Passeth understanding. No way to describe it. It's beyond logical explanation, but it's not beyond your personal experience if you'll claim it by faith. Walk in it. Shall keep your hearts and minds. God's peace will mount guard like a sentinel to keep away fear and worry and anxiety from the heart and mind. And that's the two places that they seek to enter, the heart and the mind. Isaiah 26:3 reads, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And what is the channel of it? It's through Jesus Christ. Now we have peace with God through him. We know that peace when we trust him as Savior. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died on the cross for us, that relationship was established between you as a believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a life relationship that forever settled your eternal destiny. And that is fixed and finished. But the peace of God is something else. The peace of God is that which you must claim by faith day by day. And John 14:27 promises it to you. Romans 15:13, Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace. How? In believing. In claiming it. In exercising the same faith you did for salvation. Let the same faith lay hold upon peace for your heart in the time of trouble and anxiety and fear, and learn to rest in the Lord. It's in Christ himself that we find heaven's cure for earth's care. And that's why we sing, Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. But burdens are lifted at Calvary. And Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your burden and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And Jesus is very near. And he's here tonight. And I want you to come. In a moment, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to sing it, 218 in the book. And if you've been plagued with fear and anxiety and care, I want you to come. I want you to fill this altar. I want you to pray. We're going to pray with you. And then we'll let you go back to your seat. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, we want you to come and remain. And one of our workers will help you from the Word of God. If you're here and sin has come into your life and broken your fellowship with God, and you're miserable tonight in your backslidden condition, I want you to come in an act of rededication of life. And I want you to stay and let our folk pray with you. If you'd like to join our church by letter or by statement, stay and let us talk with you. But if you just want to come, just unburden your soul privately, quietly before the Lord at this altar of prayer, I want you to come. While we sing, it's number 218. May we stand, please. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. We want you to pray for yourself. We're going to pray for you. I don't know what the burden is. It doesn't matter. If there's a burden on your heart, an unanswered question, a need, some heartache you're carrying, some wisdom you need, and you want to pray, and you want others to pray with you, this is a family. These messages are to the family. And we're to bear one another's burdens. Come on. And let's pray together. Let's sing it.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Thank you.
your care on Jesus today.
Cast your care on Jesus today.
That's right, come on. Oh, don't go out of here with that burden. You don't have to go home without prayer. Oh, God bless you, come on. Let us share your care tonight. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Sing it. Don't go away with a burden tonight. Don't go away with a heartache unprayed for tonight. Let us help share that load. Can't find some comfort, some strength among God's people, where in the world are you going to find it? It's just not to be found. And that's what our coming together is all about, that we might find strength for life's problems, wisdom for life's decisions, an understanding and an undergirding of one another. You don't have to tell us what's troubling you. That's not my business. That's between you and God. But if you have a care, if you have a burden, if you have a need, come on. We're going to sing the first verse again. Just slip out and come on. Pray if you wish yourself alone. Go back to your seat. If you want someone to help you, our folk are here to help you. Sing the first verse again. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Come on if you need to come. Oh, let Jesus help you tonight. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. Yes, they are. Yes, yes, yes. Close in a moment, but keep singing another verse.
Cast your care on Jesus today.
Thank you.
Now you bow your heads in the audience, if you will, please. Let me ask, well, everyone, choir and all, bow your heads a moment. Let me ask, is there someone out there tonight, you just didn't feel like coming forward, but you'd like to be remembered in prayer? I'm not going to ask you to move. I'm not going to ask you to come, but we do want to remember you. Would you slip up your hand? Yes. Oh, literally. 200 or 300 hands are raised. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. We will remember you. Father, we pray for these. Oh, God, meet needs here tonight. Help us to realize you're on the throne. You're on the throne. You're able to meet our needs. You're able to strengthen us. You're able to cause us to rise above these things that plague us as human beings. And, oh, Lord, in your time, you're going to let the light break through. And we claim it tonight. We plead the blood of Christ for it. For some homes where there is sorrow and strife and heartache and misunderstanding. And for individuals who are going through dark, dark times right now. And others, dear Lord, who are suffering great, great consternation of mind and heart because of the things that are upon them, which we don't understand, they don't understand. But Lord, you know it all. But Father, we pray tonight for a little bit of daylight. Let the light shine through. God, we pray it. We plead for it. In Jesus' name we claim it. Let there be from this meeting tonight, O God, some rejoicing of hearts because of what you're able to do. That which is exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. You've said you would. We ask for it, dear God, for thy people, that we might be stronger, that our faith might be strengthened, that we might be better Christians, and that your name might be glorified, that the Lord Jesus might be praised, that your power might be shown. We ask it humbly. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Johnny Bryant has come to be with us tonight. Johnny, would you stand, please? Where is this one? To my left. Brother Bryant, we're glad to see you. God bless you, sir. Coming by profession of faith, Brother Bryant, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior? And do you wish to follow him in baptism and live for him? God bless you, sir. And we rejoice with you. And our men will help you. You may go back and make ready. Thank you. And Mr. Spencer Holman is here tonight. And Mrs. Holman, coming to be with us from the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Springfield, Tennessee. They're right before us here. And we welcome you. God bless you. We want to shake hands with you at the close of the hour tonight. And we have a special card here. And in a moment, Brother Ab will be coming with others. John Wysong is here. Where is John? He's seated before me here with his hand in a sling. He's thanking the Lord that he did not have his fingers to have his fingers removed and for a successful operation which saved him. John had an accident. And he just had this hand pretty much mutilated. But God has touched his hand and is giving healing. And he's happy and he wants you to know he's praising the Lord for answered prayer. All right, Brother Ham.
Now we have some others that are coming by letter tonight. Mr. and Mrs. Clyde Ballman.
Would you stand, please?
And they're coming from Christ Chapel in Freeville, North New York. And coming by letter.
All right. Our folk have checked with these people now, I understand, very carefully about the doctrine. You folks have been baptized. You follow the Lord and believers' baptism by immersion. Yes. All right. And we'll talk with them some more, but we're so happy to see you. We want to shake hands with you at the close of the hour here tonight.
All right. Another, Mr. W.W. Dupree.
Would
is coming
please?
By letter from a sister church of our city.
Yes, Brother Dupree, we're happy to see you, sir. God bless you. And if you feel like standing here at the close of the hour, we want to shake hands with you. God bless you, sir.
That's all by letter.
If you rejoice in these who've come by profession and by letter tonight, let it be known by saying amen. And we do. God bless you.
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Gary Parker are here, and they come together. We want to let God have the responsibility for our lives as well as the authority.
God bless you. Father, bless this couple now, we pray. Give direction. Thank you for their tenderness of heart in coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Jeff Gress is coming. Are both of these together? They've been married 1 month and coming for the dedication at home.
Where would you stand, Brother Miss Gress? Yes, God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer for these fine young people. Our Father, we thank Thee for these who've dedicated their lives to Thee as individuals. Now they've come to make public the dedication of their home to Thee, and may it be a place where Christ is exalted and the Word of God is read. Prayer is offered, we ask Thee, and grant them many wonderful years together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
All right. We have one of our deaf men coming in full-time service tonight, Mr. Todd Lindstrom, and God called him to be a missionary to Mexico for the deaf. And that's what he wants to do.
You tell Todd we rejoice in this calling. Let him look at the audience. Raise your hand if you're happy to see him and rejoice with him. Pray for him. We want to shake hands with him at the close of the hour here. Amen.
Now we have two that are going into the hospital this week. Brother Ed Baker is here. And he's coming in response to the message and asking prayer.
We'll be here.
Going to the hospital on Thursday with spinal surgery on Friday.
Ed, let us know when you get in and the room number, please, and we'll be praying for you, all right?
Then Karen Russell is also going to the hospital, and she's going to, that's all it states, will be in the hospital.
God bless you. Pray for little Karen. She's standing down front here, all right?
Now we have Mr. and Mrs. Mark Allen Ladd.
Would you stand, please?
They're coming I don't have the full address of these, one from Faith Baptist in Suffolk, Virginia, and Kempsville Baptist Church, both of these.
All right, Brother Walters, talk with them. God bless you, folk. We're glad to see you. We'll shake hands with you in a few moments. Amen.
And we have many others now that come in response to the message. I'll just give the names tonight.
Couple here, Ms. Elgin and some
Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Elgin Smith are here tonight, committing a burden to Christ and seeking His will and all that we do.
Amen.
Donna Hines is here tonight, trusting the Lord in matters. Mrs. Florence Graham is also coming, matter of faith. Mrs. Andrea Betts is here tonight. Brother Charles Hudson, Glenda Settle is coming, praying for lost loved ones. These will be attending her wedding. My grandmother, aunt, and cousin, they'll be returning to Germany. And these are lost loved ones.
Please pray for these who will be coming to visit us now. We're praying that God will get hold of their hearts, all right?
Kevin Roberts is coming tonight, praying for traveling mercies. Mrs. Judy Stranathan is here tonight. Anthony Russell's coming. Doug Johnson is here. Judy Bagley. Carrie Lynn Lewis is here. Miss Debbie Stewart. Stormy Hatfield. Be a right example to her sister. Margaret Bean. Miss Debbie Mathis is here. Tim Vermos. Angela Smith is coming. Mr. Eric Tasman. Roger Johnson. Rose Ann Curtis. Mr. Dennis Leatherman. Brad Bond. Deborah Mann. And Linda Shoemaker. All here tonight.
All right. God bless you.